Take your Bible this morning, turn to James chapter 1. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. That's a promise from God. God said, I'll give you wisdom. I promise you that. Our God is a God who loves to give. The Bible talks about all gifts and every perfect gift comes from God. And God wants us to give us. God wants to give us things. God wants us to ask Him. The Bible says we have not because we ask not. So a portion of Scripture here talks about God giving, the giving God. It is quoted that Alexander the Great responded to one who was overwhelmed by his generosity. And Alexander the Great said, I give as a king. Kings don't have to worry about, for the most part, finances. They have it. And they give. Good kings give. And the greatest king of all is Jesus Christ. Jehovah gives as the infinite God, without compromising its truth or undermining the original meaning of the Scripture, could be rendered, ask the giving God. God loves to give because He is love. And God must give and will continue to give as long as there is life. In the latter part of the 17th century, a German preacher, August Franke, founded an orphanage to care for homeless children of Halle. One day, Franke desperately needed funds to carry on his work of a destituted children of this orphanage. But a destituted Christian widow came to his door and begging him for a gold coin. Because of his financial situation, he politely but regretfully told her that he could not help her. Disheartened, the woman began to weep. Now, anytime a woman weeps, you're going to do something, amen? Well, moved by her tears, Franke asked her to wait while he went to his room to pray. And after seeking God's guidance, he felt that the Holy Spirit wanted him to change his mind. So, trusting the Lord to meet his own needs, he gave her the money. Two mornings later, he received a letter of thanks from the widow. She explained that because of his generosity, she had asked the Lord to shower his orphanage with great gifts. That same day, Franke received 12 gold coins from a wealthy lady, and then two more from a friend in Sweden. He thought that he had been amply rewarded for taking care of this widow. But he soon was informed that the orphanage received 500 gold pieces from the Prince Lon van Württemberg. When he heard this, Franke wept in gratitude. In sacrificially providing for that needy widow, he had been enriched, not impoverished. God wants us to give, of course, but the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. The mind of God is that He always is giving, amen. And He gives us more than we certainly deserve. First of all, what does God want us to give? What does God want to give us? Well, first of all, He wants to give us wisdom. In 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 5, Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto my servant, thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked in thee in truth and righteousness and uprightness and heart with thee. Thou hast kept from him this great kindness, and thou hast given him a son to sit on the throne as this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servants king instead of David my father, but I am but a child, a little child. I know not how to come in or go out or come in. And thy servant is the midst of thy people, which have chosen a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between the good and the bad. And for who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon asked of this thing. What did he ask for? He said, I need wisdom. I need wisdom to do the office that you've called me to do. Oh, boy, we all need wisdom. Some of you have little children in your home. You need wisdom to raise those children up. Some of you have babies about to be born. You need wisdom to take care of this. Some of you have teenagers. They need wisdom to live with you. But anyway, God promised to give wisdom to all. Oh, how we are all in need of wisdom from God. Secondly, who will God give the wisdom to? God promised to give the wisdom to all of us. That's a promise. God is no respecter of person. God respects no one. I don't care if you're a millionaire or you're a man that you don't even have a bed to sleep in. God respects no man. And God will take care of you. God promised it. God promised to give you wisdom. Listen to Jacob as he prays to God for wisdom, how he'd be able to handle his angry brother. Jacob had a brother named Esau. And Esau, he had taken the birthright from his brother. And he was upset. And he looked every way he could to kill his brother Jacob. He was so upset with him. And Jacob came to God one day. When he finally came to himself, dear God, I need wisdom. God gave wisdom to the supplanter. And God gave wisdom to this brother to meet his irritated brother so that they may meet in peace and friendship. And look at what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 32 and verse 24. And Jacob was left alone. There wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint. And he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. He was saying, God, I need some wisdom here. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast the power with God, and with man thou hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou ask me after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for it has seen the face of God, and my life is preserved. Then you go down to Genesis chapter 33 and verse 1. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came. Who was Esau? His brother. What was Esau trying to do? Kill him. He cheated him out of all his goodness that his dad was supposed to give him. And he was with 400 men, the Bible says. And he divided the children, Leah and Rachel, onto the two handmaids, and put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, Rachel and Joseph the hindermost part. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times. God gave him wisdom. And until he came to near to his brother, and Esau ran to meet him, embraced him, and fell on his neck and kissed him. And they wept. Isn't this the Esau that hated his brother? Isn't this Esau who looked for ways to kill him? But God gave Jacob wisdom. And God gave power to meet his feuding brother. Boy, there's sometimes in our families, we need wisdom. There's some troubles in some of our families that, you know, some of them just, they don't get it. There's some of our families that there's pure hatred. And if it wasn't civil, they'd kill us. That's why it is important for us to go to God. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 5, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So even in our everyday life and our life that we live, there are battles and things that we just many times do not know how to handle. Thanksgiving's coming up. Well, you're not going to Aunt Susie's and because you're going to Uncle Jimmy's, and now Aunt Susie's mad because Uncle Jimmy, you like Uncle Jimmy better. Oh, give me a break. We're going to the first place that somebody invites us to, amen? But there's struggle within all of our lives. I don't care who you are today. There may be a struggle with your boss. Maybe you struggle with your someone that works for you. There's some things. Hey, you know what? Hey, listen. God says, ask for wisdom. Lord, help me to know how I'm supposed to handle this. Lord, show me what I'm supposed to do. Show me when I should keep my mouth. My dad used to say, why don't you keep your trap shut? That's good. I said shut up one time. My mother picked up bar of soap and I didn't say that again. And even time when I even said it right there, I thought, oh boy, mom's coming at me with a bar of soap. Sometimes we need to be quiet. Just be quiet. And you know that everything said against you, everything you say is going to be held against you in the court of mother or dad or sister or brothers. Amen. Sometimes it's very uncomfortable around people like that. Not sometimes, it always is. You have to be so careful. And it's not fun. But God will give you wisdom to get through that time of life. You know what? That's what life is all about. Life is all about is you getting along, amen. What does the Bible say, the golden rule? Over there in James chapter 2 and verse 8. If ye fulfill the royal law, according to the Scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Ye do well. Unless they got a dog that barks all night. We got a hound dog about $3 down from us. Ow! Every time they leave for work, you know they're leaving for work. About 6:30 in the morning. Oh, man, I want to get my .22 and go chase some coons, amen. I mean, that's what we use them old hound dogs for, or chase some rabbits, amen. And first of all, it irritated me, and after that, I kind of think it's funny. It's the way it is, amen. God, give me wisdom. Sometimes wisdom is keep your mouth shut. Some of the best thing it is just, you know, just, you don't always have to be around that, amen. Trust the Lord that He gives you wisdom. Ask for wisdom. I think the third question we should be, when will God give us this wisdom? Just simply, when we ask Him. Lord, how am I going to get this wisdom? He said, when you ask me, I'll give you wisdom. I won't upbraid you. I won't get after you. I'll give you plenty of it. Charles Haddon Spurgeon wrote a devotional called Morning and Evening, and he writes, He giveth liberally and upbraideth not. Not one hint that we are burdensome to Him. Not one cold look for His poor pensioners. But He rejoices in His mercy, and He presses us to His bosom while He is pouring out His life for us. We must continue to ask, not just presenting our pensions once, but again and again. So often we ask God for something and then we just forget about it. We're going to go back and back. But I love that way. It's not burdensome to Him. Have you ever asked somebody something and you can just see it's burdensome to them? Oh, brother, what else do you want? Okay, I'll do it. Boy, that's a blessing, amen, huh? God says, I don't do that. I don't do that. There's an interesting word in the Bible. The word is supplication. It comes from the Greek word. I'm not trying to wow you, but it's deosis. It's translated prayer. 6 times it's translated in the King James supplication. And 1 time it's translated request. When you read the Bible about someone or some nation that is supplicating, it means they're in great need or misfortune or tribulation or famine or hunger or starvation. They're impoverished. They're in great want, in bereavement. and deprivation. The word supplication carries the sense of one who is seeking, one who is asking, one who is entreating, one who is entreating to God, one who is supplicating or entreating to man, please, I beg you. Very common term used in a special kind of prayer, the imploring prayers, the imploring request, prayer for obtaining blessing, supplication for averting evils which we fear. Supplication is this. You go to the doctor and the doctor says you have a cancer. Immediately you begin to supplicate with God Almighty. And by the way, that's the way we should do it. We should supplicate, dear God, if this is your will for my life, all right. But if not, look, I certainly appreciate you taking care of it for me. Because all of us know that there's no way to get away from that thing. Something that happens in our life, something that's causing us to stay away from God, something that's causing us to keep us from the blessing of God, we supplicate, we beg God, we say, dear God. And he says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him supplicate, let him ask of God, let him say, oh God, I need your help at this time. Lord, I don't know what to do with these kids. Lord, I don't know what to do with these bills. Lord, I don't know what to do about my vehicle. Lord, I don't know what to do. On and on and on and on. I've lived long enough to know that there's problems every day of this world. Every day of our life. The psalmist says we live in sorrow and in trouble. Not one of us get through this life without some kind of problem. Therefore, we should come to God and say, dear God, I need your help. That's what's a wonderful thing of blessing about being a Christian. One who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior knows that we have someone that we can go to. Hey, listen to the people that you work with. Listen how they talk. Listen how they don't want nothing to do with God. And when the troubles come and sorrows come, where do they go? They go to the bar. They get the bottle. Does that help them? No, it's a depressant. It makes them even feel worse. But a Christian can go to the Heavenly Father and beg mercy in a time of need. The Bible said, come boldly before the throne of grace. It's our opportunity to say, God, I don't know how to handle this thing. I ask you, where does the man who has not a God, where does he go? Goes to his friends. Friends are fine. But do friends, are friends like a God Almighty that is all-knowing, that knows everything? A friend, can he give you the information? Well, sometimes. For the most part, no. The problem is most of our friends are going through the same battles we are and got the same troubles we are. And life is not easy. The other day I was talking to somebody, and I was thinking of my trouble. Sorry about that, but I was. I was thinking about some of my trials. And this person said to me, Pastor, such and such and such and such, this. And I went, boy, I'm glad I got my troubles. I'm glad I didn't have their trouble, eh, man? Huh? Boy, I'm glad I got my problems. Hey, you know what? You keep your problems, I'll keep my problems, all right? But for a person who does not have the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, does not have this common bond with a God Almighty, and has no place to go, what a sad state of affairs. He has nowhere to go. He's at a dead end. I'm not at a dead end. I've got this. I've got the Holy Bible that promised me and teaches me and shows me everything I need to know in the Word of God if I just read it, amen. The fourth question should be, how do we get this wisdom that we so desperately need? I think we can go to the psalmist, and he's got a lot. David has a lot of things. David went through a lot of troubles in his life. And he said in Psalm 1, verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law that they meditate day and night. I can go to God. I can go to the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 98. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. Psalm 119, verse 104. Through thy precepts, I get understanding. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6, for the Lord giveth wisdom Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Paul the Apostle wrote to the church Colossae in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Back to David. David says in Psalm 118 and verse 11, the word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Verse 30, I have chosen thy way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. So when do I get it? Immediately when I ask it. Number five, notice the Spirit of God is giving. The Spirit of God is giving. God wants to give you. You ever be around somebody who's always like to give? Man, I like that. I used to go to my grandmother. My grandmother, we call her Gaga because she didn't want to be called grandmother because grandmother made her sound old. She was a beautiful lady. She really was. When she was 90 years old, she looked like she was about 50. She was just a lovely lady. Just one of those ladies that you just felt like you were in the presence of royalty when you went around Gaga. She was married four times. First ended in a divorce. It was a terrible thing. Her first husband beat her. And clear back in the 20s, in the 20s, the sheriff had to come and serve papers to my grandfather because he was so mean. My grandmother married again. And she lived with this man for 20 years. He was a wealthy oil man. And he'd do spec housing. And he was just the greatest guy. And he passed away. And she married her high school sweetheart then, who happened to be an electrician. And they lived for 20 years. And he died. She married again. And she married this. He was a restaurant chef. That guy just could do anything. Lived with her 20 years and died. It's kind of scary. It's not a good idea to marry a lady that they die after 20 years. I'd be running about the 19th, amen. But just something about this lady. But she was always a giving lady. We called her Grandma Candy. Growing up on the farm, my mom didn't think we ought to have candy unless she made it, amen. But we'd go to Gaga's house. Gaga always had the candy out, amen. Always had the candy out. That's why we called her Grandma Candy. But she was always giving. She found out that Marsh and I were going to get married, and she said, how you doing? I was in college. I said, what do you mean how I know? She knows. You know what I'm talking about, honey. She used to call me honey. Or sweetie. She said, now, sweetie, how you doing? I said, what do you mean how I'm doing? She said, you know. I said, well, I didn't tell her, but I didn't have a penny I couldn't even pinch a penny in my fingers, amen. And she said, I'm going to give you a check. She said, you can pay me back anytime you want. Wrote a check for $400. That was 1969. That was a whole gob of money. Still is today. But, and that's what we got married on. That's what we did the honeymoon on. That's what we, bought our first food with. Amen. I came home for Christmas next year and I said, Gaga, I said, I became a pastor after that. And us preachers, we rolling it. Amen. And I said, boy, I don't know. Are you going to get me some money? Amen. But anyway, and so I said, I don't know. I said, I just can't pay you back. Right? Oh, honey, no, let's not tell anybody, but you don't have to pay it back, sweetie. Boy, that's like God. We ask God and we say, dear God, I need wisdom. Dear God, I don't know how to handle this thing. And God so liberally says, here, take it. I'll take care of you. God promised to give with open hands to all men without upbraiding. He continues to say, come on, ask me. Come on, ask me. We have not because we ask not. Look, He will give liberally. His giving goes beyond our asking and, for the most part, our intelligence. Listen what David said, how God supplies need. Hear me when I call, O God of righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. He says, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. In my distress I called upon the Lord and I cried upon my God. He heard my voice out of His temple, and my cry came before Him, even into His ears. Psalm 28, verse 6, blessed be the Lord because He hath heard the voice of my supplication. Psalm 30, verse 2, O Lord my God, I cried unto Thee, and Thou hast healed me. That's a good verse for some of you that are sick. Psalm 30, verse 2, I'd hang on to that one. Psalm 34, verse 4, I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me out of my fears. Psalm 118, verse 5, I called upon the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me and set me in a large place. You know, God not only does that, but He also gives ungrudgingly. And God gives without criticizing us. Have you ever done something stupid? Has there ever been a time in your life that you've failed? I mean, you just did something really dumb. And your wife even says, that was dumb. God said, I'll give you ungrudgingly. I give you without criticizing. I'll give you without scolding you. You know, it's bad enough to do something and realize you did something and have to pay for it, but have somebody come up and scold you for it afterwards. They say if you give a person a ticket, give them the ticket, tell them have a good day. If you're not going to give them a ticket, scold them. Make them feel like a little boy. God will not scold you. God, I don't know what to do. Well, why didn't you listen to me before I told you not to do that? You crazy person. You know, you have no brains. God doesn't do that. He said, son, come here, let me help you. Think of all the times your child does something really stupid. You told him. Don't do that. It's going to hurt. Don't do that. You know. You don't say, I told you so. Well, maybe you do. But God does not say, I told you so. He will not reproach the supplicant. He will not scold the beggar. He will not reprimand our ignorance. We already know that. He doesn't have to do that. He doesn't, when we are asking for wisdom, He promised to utter no words of disapproval. He brings up nothing from the past, and He promises us wisdom, and He's glad that we're asking. Why in the world would God tell us to ask for wisdom when He would not freely give it to us? Why wouldn't a parent, when he gives his child, his or her child, more information that they would be able to act better on? If they ask for more, to be more helpful, if they ask to be more wise, if they ask for more knowledge, they ask to be more prudent, and they ask to learn, if they ask to be more keen on things, if they ask to be more intelligent, more discriminative, they ask to be helped, to be farsighted, to see what's going on. Ask for more knowledge. Ask to be wiser. Ask for insight. How to be more thoughtful and how to be more level-headed and discerning. Ask to teach them to have better manners. Are you kidding me? If my child came up and asked that, first of all, I'd fall down and have to get up again. Amen. And I said, absolutely. God says, I will give you wisdom to live in this old blood-splattered world. God said, I'll give you wisdom to live by my rules. He said, I'll give you wisdom to do what I say. God, help us in our life that we would come before God and say, dear God, I know I need your wisdom. Now, of course, this morning, the message pretty much is to those who are saved, to those who know Christ as their personal Savior. Lord Jesus Christ is our Heavenly Father. We understand that the Scriptures teach us that when we invite Jesus Christ to be our Savior, He'll save us from our sins, and He'll live in our lives, and when we die, He'll take us to heaven. Aren't we glad about that? Amen. But if you're here today and you're not sure you're saved, you're not sure that you have a Heavenly Father, where do you go? You go to people that are just mortals? You go to people that have the world, the humanistic thought of life? You go to people that say friends are people you use? That's all we have friends for. That's what we humans say. Or do we have a God Almighty that loves us so much? His character is so perfect. The Bible says He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He knows all. Do we go to one and say, dear God, I need you? If you're here today and you do not have a God like that, I invite you to invite Him to come into your heart. The Bible said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's God's promise. It's simple as that. Lord, I need a Savior. Lord, I need one who will give me wisdom. Lord, I need someone that someday when I die will take me to heaven. And that's who I need today. Father, I pray you'd be with us today. Thank you for the promises of heaven. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you do promise us wisdom. Dear God, I pray today, if there's anybody here today, not sure they're saved, not sure they're on their way to heaven, that today would be that day they'd call upon the Almighty God and say, dear God, I am a sinner. I deserve hell. But I call upon your name and ask you to forgive my sins and ask the Savior to come in and be my Savior today. Lord, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and you're not sure you're saved. You're not sure you're on your way to heaven. You'd say, preacher, boy, I've heard it before, but I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven. I'd sure like to know that today. My friend, you came to the right place. I'm not here to make a Baptist out of here. I'm here to show you that there's a God in heaven that loves you so much that died on the cross so that you could go to heaven someday. That's what it's all about. I pray today that you'd invite Jesus to be your Savior. You say, preacher, how do you do that? Right where you're sitting, you can pray this prayer. All you have to pray is say, God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and be my Savior today. You're here today and say, preacher, sure, I'll pray it one more time. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and be my Savior today. You're here today and you say, preacher, today I prayed that prayer. Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you. Let me thank God for you. You're here today and say, preacher, today I prayed that prayer and invited Jesus to be my Savior. With heads bowed, eyes closed, I'm going to ask everyone to stand. You're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. But boy, I'd sure like to know that today. Why don't you come right now? Let me show you from the Word of God how you know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven. Why don't you come right now? Anyone that ever comes to Jesus Christ has to come through Jesus. Anyone that ever be saved, ever is on the way to heaven, has to invite Jesus Christ to be their Savior. You can't work it up. You can't pray it through. It has to be a point in your life you say, I know I'm a sinner. I confess my sins. I realize I'm a sinner. I realize I'm on my way to heaven. I'm on my way to hell. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I invite you to be my Savior. That's salvation. You say, that's so simple. It has to be simple. It has to be simple. But it's no simple thing for the Heavenly Father to send His only begotten Son to the world to die on the cross. You hear today and you say, preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed Lord and Believer's baptism. Why don't you come this time? You hear today and say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God at. Again, you hear today and say, preacher, I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I'm on my way to heaven or not. I just don't know that. I want to know that, but I don't know that. Why don't you come? Let me show you from the Word of God, from the Bible. Why don't you come?